Welcome to Not a Great Whisperer podcast. This is your host, Katie Ray. I am joined with the beautiful Whitney Brundage today. Thank you for joining, my love.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited you're here. We met through friends of ours, of course, Kevin and Brandon, and through the chamber. And I am just so glad you wanted to be on the podcast so we can kind of discuss life, especially during COVID and after the shutdown and everything. So how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well. I have to say that I'm glad that you wanted to host me here and that you think I'm extraordinary.
It's true. And it's our first time back in the studio, so this is pretty big.
Oh, this is big.
I know. It's been, what, 3 months? Yeah, it's been like 3 months since I've been here. And I feel like we've been talking about you coming to do the podcast, and we were going to do a Zoom interview. And I was like, no, I'd rather you just have the whole ambiance of the studio and just enjoy kind of the podcast life.
Do the real thing.
Yes, exactly. And I really want to talk about you being a mom. I know we always like joke around on little memes we send on our stories, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's me with the mom life. Your career, being an introverted planner, because you did come with a little list today to make sure I kept on my game, to make sure that I was on top of it. So I appreciate that. And really how COVID affected everything. So being home with you and Ashley and the boys, right, too?
Yes.
Two teenage.
Well, Blake, the little one, will be 13 next month. Oh, jeez. And Bryce is 14 and a half.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
And then kind of figuring out a new routine. How's that been going?
It's been going. So in the beginning, when we first went into quarantine, it was okay because I am an introverted planner and I'm a germaphobe. So it was kind of my time to shine. Like, I still have not had to buy Clorox wipes.
Okay.
So I knew exactly what we were going to do for school. I knew what we were going to do at where everyone was going to work. And it was going to be okay that we stayed home. Mm-hmm. And I told you this a little bit, but starting in February, I was kind of thinking we needed a reset anyways. So, of course, I didn't want the economy to shut down. I didn't want people to get sick. I didn't want any of those repercussions. Yeah. But I needed a break. And mm-hmm. So I was being optimistic about being home for 3 months now.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of friends who said things slowing down actually helped them just realize you don't have to have 5 activities after school. You don't need to be everywhere every weekend. Like, it's kind of nice to just sit back. No, we don't like the economy. Of course, we don't want the economy to shut down. And everybody, we are social distance at a table. Whitney is in the kitchen. I am in the podcast room. No, I'm just kidding. But we walk in with our masks on. Hey, we follow the guidelines. But it is important to just kind of step back. I did not write a book on my quarantine. Did you?
I did not.
Me either. Right? When people are like, write a book. Is she?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I would be like, just go write a book. And I'm like, what? I have no time for that.
No.
But how did it affect you as a mom? Getting the boys kind of acclimated to a new home life?
It was very difficult. So part of the reason it was so difficult is that we all actually ended up contracting the virus in early March. And I didn't know. I'm a very stubborn sick person because I consider myself healthy. So it started with a fever for me. I was the first one to become symptomatic. It started with a fever and then this headache and fatigue. And I kept writing it off as allergies. I'm tired. I need a break. Mm-hmm. Sinuses. And then it was about 6 days into very severe shortness of breath that I thought, okay, maybe this might be something else. So it was early March. The testing was not reliable or really accessible. I was tested. It took 3 weeks to get my results, and they were negative. But I was diagnosed based on symptoms because that's really what they were doing in early March. We passed it through the house. So everybody, from the day that I had the fever, I came in contact with several people. And I know of 7 that got sick after that.
Wow.
So it's very contagious. It's not a joke.
No, yeah.
It made it a little bit difficult because in addition to being sick, it was the week the kids got out for spring break. We didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then it was another 2 weeks before we started the e-learning. And we just really weren't up for it. So I say all that to say it was challenging.
Oh, yeah, especially with being so tired. Just in general, being a mom is tiring, being in a career is tiring. But like to add that fatigue, which everybody I feel like I've talked to has had it, talks about that. And it's just like not your normal, like the thing you can kind of push through. You're just really fucking tired.
Absolutely tired.
So you're like.
And then there's the mental health issues on top of it. You don't know what's happening. We don't know when we're reopening because this is in March. Nobody knew anything at any, you know, even now. The information we're getting is not consistent, but 3 months ago, it was very inconsistent. So my kids were struggling with it. They're trying to do the schoolwork. They can't see their friends. I mean, it's everybody was kind of going through the same thing. It was different for everyone, of course, but the mental health aspect of it is very serious.
Yeah. And what do you feel when you talk to people and you tell them, like, you've had it? What are their reactions?
They all want to know what my symptoms were.
Okay. Or and some back away like this.
Some people, yeah, actually, I have had a couple people ask if I'm still contagious. And I mean, I guess nobody really knows, but probably 3 months later, I'm not.
Or everybody would be still sick.
I guess.
Yeah, I feel like.
If you treat it as a regular virus, you're not contagious. I mean, I don't
know. How long do you think it took to recover from it?
So I have an autoimmune disease and I have asthma. I was sick for 23 days and then I was better for a day and then sick for two. Better for two, sick for one for probably another 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
So I was sick for a long time. I gave it to my parents. They said I shared the love with the, with everyone. My parents are very healthy. So my mom was sick for 4 days and they're both like me. So they refused to admit that they were sick.
Oh, stubborn.
Yes, very stubborn. They both noticed the other one was sick but didn't say anything. So my mom was sick for maybe 4 days and my dad was sick for a week and a half, maybe.
So with your autoimmune, how have you had to manage that your whole life? And did COVID scare the shit out of you?
Yes. It scared me in the beginning because I didn't know what would happen if I got it. And I know that this sounds ridiculous, but I'm happy that I got it and I'm over it because I now know. I'd be in a very different position right now if I had not contracted it yet.
Yeah, the fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was actually diagnosed when I was 30. So I've not had it my whole life. I have had asthma my whole life and I've just had health issues in general. But I have celiac disease.
Okay.
So celiac disease is an autoimmune disease where your body attacks your small intestine when you eat gluten. So, gliadin is the protein in gluten and that's what your immune system attacks.
Okay. And so when you were diagnosed finally at 30, did you find out why you would randomly feel like shit throughout?
Yes, it explained a lot. So with celiac, in order to test positive for celiac, you have to be eating gluten, you have to have the gene, and you have to have triggered the gene. So when you trigger the gene, it's any type of traumatic experience. So Elizabeth Hasselbeck has celiac, and when she talks about it, she thinks what triggered it is and I don't want to say a food poisoning. It's like a stomach poisoning that she got while out of the country. I don't remember the exact details.
Oh, okay. And what do you think yours was?
I don't know.
Like stomach poisoning.
Well, I don't know. So I had a C-section with Blake, and it was pretty traumatic because it was an emergency C-section after, I don't know, 14 hours of labor. I don't really remember. So maybe that. And I was also going through some things in life in general, so maybe a combination. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, okay. So you were like, okay, that's what triggered it.
Yeah,
so
I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a specific illness or anything like that that triggered it.
Well, I feel like you're a very positive person with everything that kind of happened. And it was emergency C-section with your second.
Second, yes.
Yeah, so did that stop you from wanting any more kids?
No, actually, what stopped me from wanting more kids was I had hyperemesis with Bryce. So he's the first one. And when I found out I was pregnant with Blake, Bryce was only 11 months. Or no, he just turned one. And I cried and cried and cried because I was like, I can't do this again because I had hyperemesis and then I had postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it again.
Yeah. You're like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm tapped out now. Thank you. So tell me about really what you're doing with your career and getting out to the community and kind of what you do.
Sure. So I work for a company called Computer Measurement Group. It's CMG. And I am our vice president of, I'm our vice president of digital transformation programming.
Awesome.
And what that means is I work with our partners to do events and sponsorships.
Do you love it?
I do, actually. I really love it. I'm a planner. So the event part of it is great. And when you believe in the events that you're doing, the partnerships and the sponsorships kind of flow naturally. Mm-hmm. So we are a technology trade association. We're a 501c6 member-based association.
Cool. Do you have a team under you?
No, we're actually a very small team. Okay. So there's only three of us in corporate. We have regional chapters. And I wouldn't say that they're under us because they're volunteers, mm-hmm. but they have a regional board and they run their own events.
And are the boys in a lot of activities where it keeps your time really filled up, where you're kind of everywhere all the time?
They're not. We have a very full schedule just with our lives in general. And they do. So we go to the gym together as a family.
I love that.
And Blake plays basketball and racquetball while we're there. And I'm actually trying to get him into organized basketball. But Ashley travels a lot, and the kids have never gone to our neighborhood school, so it's not like they come home right at 2 o'clock. And with work and the volunteer activities and things that we do, we've never put them in any type mm-hmm. of organized sport.
Do they volunteer with you?
Sometimes. They've been to events with us. They've been to organized volunteer activities.
Okay.
Bryce actually starts Hillsborough High School IB.
Oh, wow.
In the fall. I know. I feel like
Did
as
you
a mom.
Say high school?
High school. I know. And I feel like as a mom, since my kid got into IB, like I did something right.
You did. And it's like, a mom win. That's a mom
right,
win.
Right. Like I didn't mess him up, you know, like.
He actually wants to go into the program too. Right. So it's
he wants to go into the program. And Ashley and I provided an environment that he can thrive in, and he got in. But I say that to say that he has to do hundreds of hours of volunteer work in IB.
Yeah. And he's ready for it.
He is ready for it. He actually wants to volunteer at the Humane Society, and he wanted to start this month. But because of COVID,
they
I'm not really
start,
sure.
Or did they? I mean, they might not even be accepting volunteers. Right?
I don't know. Yeah. I assumed nobody's accepting mm-hmm. volunteers right now. So I haven't looked into it yet.
I love that. I think it's important for kids to do volunteering. It's because they can turn so entitled and mm-hmm. shitty. Where my son's like, no, I want to use all my money for a Lego set. And I'm like, no, that's not where your piggy bank stuff goes. Like, do something. But I'm like, you know what? You're six, so I'll let it slide
right.
one time. So it's kind of like being patient as a mom, but also being like, I really hope you turn into a good human and you like to read.
I know.
This is a fight. So what do you think is the positive of being an introverted planner during a pandemic?
So I consider myself an extroverted introvert.
Okay.
And that means
tell me what the hell that is.
That means I'm an introvert. However, if I mesh with you or in a certain situation, I'm extroverted. I can open up. I can have a conversation. If there's bad energy or bad vibes in a scenario, I'm very closed off and I can't open up.
Okay.
So it's helped me in this pandemic and hopefully no other future pandemics because I don't need that external stimulation in order to function. I'm happy with quiet time at home. And that quiet time actually refuels me. Like I was telling you, I felt like I needed a restart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed, is I needed to stop going places and stop being around people.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely worked in your favor, right?
It did.
So what would be your advice for people who just can't like get out of the worry stage, I guess? It's kind of like for me too, because I have a 4-month-old. Mm-hmm. So it's like the fear of getting her sick because she's so tiny makes me all like antsy all the time. But what's kind of your take on it? Because your parents got sick from you, so mm-hmm. But they are healthy people. Like what's your advice for people who are still in like worry mode?
Well, I think it's definitely a real virus. People are sick and people are dying. However, it's not at the rate that it could have been. And I think just take precautions, wash your hands, just be consistent and just use common sense, really, mm-hmm. because I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not, an immunologist.
This is
by
not
any
your
means.
Medical advice. Right. She's just talking about experience.
But I do have a lot of experience. So I have asthma. I have a lot of immune system issues. I've done a lot of research on it. I've actually taken classes on health and wellness coaching. I went through a mm-hmm. whole program on it. So I feel like I can speak on it a little bit more than the general public.
Yeah, because you know more about the anatomy.
Right. And about just the immune system in general. And I have an autoimmune disease. And when I was going through the diagnosis of the autoimmune disease, I was very, very sick. And I had acne, I had migraines, I had anxiety, I had liver issues, I had stomach issues. Celiac disease has, I think, 290 different symptoms associated with it. And that's because your immune system is attacking your small intestine. And your small intestine regulates about 80% of your immune system. And it also regulates your absorption of vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm. So you have that deficiency. And it causes a lot of problems in your body. I mean, vitamin D deficiency is linked to anxiety. It's linked to cancers. It's linked to so many issues. And actually, they're seeing now that people with a vitamin D deficiency are getting hit harder with COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I did a lot of research when I was going through that diagnosis because in general medicine, if there's not a pill for it, typically doctors don't want to diagnose. That's my experience when I was going through it. I went to my general practitioner and I said, I think something's causing this. I don't think I have eight different ailments.
Yeah.
And she said, no, we're going to put you on this anxiety medicine. We're going to put you on this acne medicine. We're going to put you on this medicine for your liver, this medicine for your cholesterol. And I said, absolutely not.
That'd be like nine pills?
Yeah. And then I went to functional medicine. And functional medicine, their MDs, they go through medical school and then they go through more training. And basically it looks at your system as a whole and what's causing this. And that's when I was diagnosed with celiac. And I was very blessed because the doctor said I didn't know anything. I was completely blindsided. And I didn't know what the hell was happening or what to do. So the doctor said, don't eat any gluten-free processed foods. You can only eat natural foods. And I thought that that meant that I couldn't eat gluten-free processed foods. So I was actually very blessed because I didn't.
Yeah.
And I healed quickly and I really began to understand my body.
Oh my gosh, how much better did you feel?
It took about 18 months.
Oh shit.
Yes, because you got to heal your gut.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt better. And I think it was 2 years after my diagnosis that I got my first clean blood work where I actually didn't look like someone who was dying.
Yeah, and you needed 25 pills to maintain yourself.
And to this day, I still have very clean blood work. My doctor says that everything's right down the middle.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
Cheers.
But I listened to my body, and that's where I was going with that, is that if you do get sick, listen to your body.
Like take a break, like rest.
Rest. If you have, and I grew up with respiratory issues, so I know how to treat sick lungs. And when you have sick lungs, you don't let them rest. If you think about, everybody knows somebody who's been in the hospital or had pneumonia, and they don't let you just lay there. You have to take deep breaths. And when it hurts, you have to take deeper breaths.
Those like breathing treatments you probably did your whole life.
Yes. So just listen to your body. I also do intuitive eating. And I think that that makes a difference as well because your body will tell you what to do if you listen.
Mm-hmm. Like, stop fucking eating, Katie. You're done with that plate of food. I'm like, but there's just like a few more bites left. I'm super full, but I'll just finish it. It's fine.
Well, I will also say you have to give yourself grace right now because we're living in weird times. Oh,
totally.
And
I will snack with the best of them.
I really will. Yeah. So I stopped drinking about a year ago. And it was just listening to my body. I didn't feel good when I drank. Mm-hmm. So why am I doing it?
Yep. That's so true. Like, why do it? And then we just, like, put ourselves through the cycle again. And you're like, I'll just keep drinking.
Mm-hmm. It was actually at the gala I was at with you when you were pregnant.
Oh, really?
That was the last time I drank.
That's so funny. That was, what, the Tampa Bay Hispanic Bar?
Yes.
When Kevin – oh, my gosh. Really? That was the last time
That was the last time I drank.
I'm glad I could be a part of that milestone.
The end of an era.
Oh, my gosh.
And the reasoning is because I had a migraine for 3 days. I had a third of a glass of wine and then a migraine for 3 days. It wasn't worth it.
Oh, no. Migraines are the worst. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You just stopped. How great do you feel? more energy.
I feel really good. So I was saying listen to your body and give yourself grace. So I haven't had any weight issues since I stopped drinking. I was having weight fluctuations. Mm-hmm. I was happy with the weight that I'm at. But what happened is then I drink on the weekend and gain 5 pounds.
The inflammation was just like right. The bloated.
Yes. So I haven't had any weight fluctuations since I stopped drinking until I realized that sitting on the couch every night eating half a bag of chips – will give you weight fluctuations.
Also, with the drinking and the chips, it just wasn't great. Right. But you took away one. It's fine.
Right.
So your journey, yours and Ashley's journey, really, mm-hmm. Becoming parents, kind of we'll jump into that a little bit and kind of send our listeners off later. So tell me a little bit about how you met and all of that.
We met in high school.
Oh, and shit.
Yeah.
That's not that long ago. She's only 22.
Something like that. Well, I have an almost 15-year-old, so.
You're 22. It's fine.
No, actually, you know what? My body's been through a lot, and I've been through a lot, and I'm happy with my – I mean, I'm 38. I'm not old.
Oh, no, and you're definitely not.
But I'm – you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lot.
Your season of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I came out the other side of it really good.
Yeah. That's really awesome. I had no idea – you guys, you knew each other since high school. That's insane.
I was 15, so what is that, 23 years?
23. Oh, math is hard. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. Although, let me tell you, after having the children home with this e-learning, yeah, I feel like I'm a bilingual, like, chemist.
Proud of you.
After this.
Oh, yeah, because your level – I mean, the kindergarten was intense for me, but you're at the level of middle school and high school.
Yes.
So – you're like, why do I have to redo all of this? This is ridiculous. But Ashley wasn't home as much as you took that role on, of being home, doing the e-learning, doing all that.
Well, Ashley was home as well. And we have a pretty good size house, but it's new and it's an open floor plan, mm-hmm. which sounds really great until everybody's home. And the only rooms are bedrooms. So you've never been to our house. Mm-mm. You have to come over though.
Okay.
The front room, which is my office, and the dining room flow into each other. And then there's a big pantry. And then the kitchen, sitting room, and living room are all one room.
So the closed off is your bedroom. So the people, you guys kind of had to separate to bedrooms.
Yes. And that, and it's a really beautiful house, and it's a really great floor plan. Mm-hmm. But when you're all home 24/7, it's a lot. So Ashley took over my office and is really busy. She does a lot of speaking engagements, which is why she travels mm-hmm. so much. And those all turned virtual. So,
but are you a part of the LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce and she comes with you? Or because I remember seeing you at the luncheon, or do you go together?
I was on the board. I'm no longer on the board. So she was president in, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
And we worked on the bid together to bring NGLCC here. We co-hosted that.
Okay.
And then I stayed on the board through the conference being here. And then I'm no longer on the board.
That was a lot.
It is a lot. And I've taken a step back. I'm on a committee for the Tampa Club, and I'd be open to a board position at the Tampa Club. And then I'm also on the board for the IB PTA. It's a mm-hmm. separate PTA yep. at the kids' school. So I'm the 9th grade representative board member. I know. And that's about all
that's great
I'm doing.
For a planner. That overwhelms me over here. I'm like, I don't want to write an agenda for that meeting at all. That's a lot of stuff to be into, but I love that you both are like fully involved in the community. I think it's great for your boys to see that too.
Mm-hmm. And Ashley, she's not on any local boards anymore. God, I don't know. We do so many things. I'm trying to think what she is on. She's on the GLAAD board, okay. You know, GLAAD mm-hmm. Media, which is national or international. So that's kind of the bulk of her board responsibilities. It takes a lot of time
yeah. and emails.
It's a big organization. And, you know, with a lot of the things that have been happening in the media and the news, they've been very busy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, with all this shitty part of the news, right? So tell me, what season of life are you in, and what's some advice you can give to our listeners? One time I said viewers, and I'm like, nobody can see us. But our listeners, nobody can see
us. I did my hair today, though.
I know. We'll take a picture. We'll take a picture.
So the season of life that I'm in is – I remember very distinctly when I was going through some of the things I went through with Ashley and when I was very sick. And when I say that I was very sick, a lot of people don't understand autoimmune diseases. I was very sick. Like, if I had not had a diagnosis, it eventually leads to colon cancer and stomach cancer, and it's deadly. So I remember one day sitting in my car and being so overwhelmed and saying, I don't know what the lesson is, but I just want to learn it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the other side of that. I'm not done yet. I still have some growing to do. But some of the things that I've learned just throughout my life, not necessarily related to my relationship or the autoimmune disease, is boundaries are so important. You have to protect your energy and you have to protect what's important to you. Trust your intuition. Yeah. I think I've said that a few times. Mine is very rarely wrong. Give yourself grace. I don't know. That's a very good question. Good.
I think the intuition one is one that I think is so important. Like, your gut is right. Like, don't push it away.
Yeah.
Like, just go with it.
Go with your gut. And also, think about how you feel in certain situations, because it can be your body telling you this isn't right. Things here are not right. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with food. I mean, I think that that's why I consider myself a healthy sick person, because on paper, I have an autoimmune disease. I have allergies. I have asthma. But I'm very healthy day to day.
And you feel good.
And I feel good.
Because you've maintained it and you've changed habits. I mean, that's really it.
And I think, you know, it's hard to break a habit, but it's worth it.
I know. I know. If you get over those like hump of like 2 to 3 weeks of getting over that or starting that habit, it is so worth it. I did like a week of running and then that was it. And I was like, I got to get that 2 weeks in. You know?
Well, I will tell you, we have all started back at the gym and I decided that I'm going to be a fit person.
Okay.
Okay. So fit people row, or people who row are fit. I'm not sure. I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, I feel like when you see somebody rowing, they're fit.
You're like,
right?
Listen, I rowed yesterday, so I'm fit.
Okay. Now. So let me tell you. So I'm going to row. Now, first I will tell you that I'm healthy. I don't exercise as much as I should. Whatever. But I'm going to now. Okay. So when you have been in quarantine for 3 months and you've been eating chips every day, your body's not the same.
No.
So I can do about 5 minutes on the elliptical before I feel like I'm going to throw up. And I can row for about 3 minutes. But I feel like that's a pretty good start, right?
That's perfect.
However, it uses a bunch of muscles that I haven't used in a long time.
So the soreness is real.
Well, and here's the thing is that your soreness is in your rib cage area and you can't necessarily feel it. I can feel my heart beating and I feel kind of short of breath, and freaked me out to begin with.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I decided I was going to – you're working the muscles – I think it's your lats in between your shoulder blades. So I decided I was going to use – we have one of those back massagers you plug in. You know, you put it in the chair behind you. And I about levitated off the chair when it hit my lats. So they're very inflamed, and rowing definitely
but
worked.
You're fit, so it's fine.
I'm going to be fit. I'm going to work that up.
Just get your shit together and get that habit, and then your lats will be fine.
Yes, they will eventually.
I love that.
So I'm not going to row every day anymore.
But you're going to row.
I'm going to do it twice a week. And that's actually why I stopped to get ibuprofen on the way here. I was telling you.
Yep.
And that is why.
That is why I'm taking it every 3 hours.
I wanted to be able to focus and, you know, move my ribs.
So let's go over your handle so people can find you after listening. What are you at Instagram, isn't it? Whitney.
I think it's Whitney Brundage.
Well, you'll just find her on the Not a Great Whisper.
Yes. Instagram and page. I believe it's Whitney Brundage.
It's her name.
On Instagram.
Because people want to find you. The million listeners to this podcast need to find you. It'll be all of your followers listening. So what do you want to leave with, or what do you have anything you'd like to bring up?
Actually, yes. Okay. The other thing I was thinking about when you asked me what season of life I'm in, and I was thinking about like what's important to me right now and like what I'm teaching my kids. Because Bryce has 4 years left and then he graduates, and Blake has 5. Blake's going into 8th grade. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I keep talking to them about is that you have to have hard conversations and you have to do things you don't want to do. And they, you know, they're boys, they fight, and then they don't want to talk about it afterwards.
Because they're a year and a half apart?
They are 20 months apart. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to talk about it. They just, you know, it's avoidance behavior. Mm-hmm. It's very popular. I'm sure lots of people are in therapy for it.
Of course. Of course.
Or should be.
Yeah, or need to be in therapy for it.
And I'm not a fan of avoidance behavior.
Me either.
So we talk about you have to have hard conversations and you have to do things that you don't like and not avoid them. And that's how you grow.
I love that. I really love that because people are so scared of that awkward conversation, that hard conversation, because what's going to come up when I ask this question or I talk about this? But it's important, especially for kids, to know that they can have those conversations and it not turn into anger and mm-hmm. not – and it's just like an open conversation because it actually makes them not bottle up stuff. And I feel like with boys sometimes those anger issues come out, even women, mm-hmm. both on both sides. But people shut down so fast. I think that's – and that's hard to do with teenage boys.
Yes.
And you're not forcing them to talk. You're just like, this is what we have to do. Like, this is the conversation we have to have right now.
Yeah. Well, and then every conversation that you have that you don't avoid makes the next one a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And it's not just hard conversations. It's things like Bryce wanted a new Xbox controller or PS4. I don't know. He has an Xbox. And I told him to call the store to make sure that they have it. And he doesn't want to do that.
Just little and ass shit. Like, don't
just
be lazy.
Little
just
things.
Up your
like,
phone.
And, you know, it makes me nervous to call. Okay, well, you got to get over
yes,
that.
Yes. I love that, though.
So it's
That's
hard.
That's such a good example. Like, no, just call.
Right.
Like, just, you're literally on a phone. They can't see you.
Right. So it's not just – I mean, hard conversations are important, but I feel like, you know, it builds that foundation of being able to bring up anything and talk about anything. And it's so important because miscommunication, I think, leads to so many problems.
Yeah. And you can see that firsthand, especially if they don't want to do that and you're like, no, you have to do things you don't want to do. I'm not calling for you. Mm-hmm. And just teaching our kids you have to do your own shit.
It's avoidance. I mean, it all goes back to whether you're avoiding making a phone call to see if someone has a remote or you're avoiding being honest with a partner or a boss or whatever.
You just got to have a convo. Mm-hmm. I love that. This one will be called Have Hard Conversations and get on the fucking phone and call when you need a remote.
And just tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Be who you are and own it.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Look at Whitney. And then we have some guy doing lawn outside. It's fine. You won't hear it. So we're going to end on this. What note? What note do you want to end on? Have hard conversations.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Love that. Look at you. Did you feel more comfortable after we started getting into convo?
Yes.
Everybody does on the podcast. The first time being on a podcast? Maybe not on
it
radio,
is my first
but podcast.
Time. Okay. Yeah.
You've never been on radio either?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Well,
I didn't really think I had anything to talk about.
Well, oh, yeah. You're extraordinary. You're ordinary people living extraordinary lives.
Well, I was very nervous. I only had half a cup of coffee because I didn't want to, you know,
I had one. So I'm like, it's kind of hot back here. Whitney, it's super hot. Are you hot? But I love this. You'll find Whitney on Not a Great Whisperer podcast, Not a Great Whisperer Instagram, at The Real K Ray, also Cray, and katieray.com. You can catch us on Spotify, Apple, iHeart. All those fun things, Google Play, and Morty's Music will sign you off on this. Whitney, thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Love this episode. And thank you to all of our listeners. Bye.